You're listening to Triple Radio on the Fat Gatsby Network.
Hello, Internet. How you doing? Welcome back. It's another Fat Gatsby Triple Radio. It's E3 time, and we are so excited to talk to you about what we watched. We
this
are.
Podcast could be Tim's face's reaction to.
I'm feeling like
is
a real E3 podcaster.
Week? Are we excited?
Yeah.
It's maybe we're. I'm Dave. I'm Dave, one of your hosts, and I'm honestly pretty tepid. I'm not excited. I hope I get more excited over the course. I'm drinking. Actually, this is my second drink. Maybe by the time our podcast is done, I'll be feeling very excited. Tim, how about you? Are you feeling excited?
I feel pretty good about. I feel good about a variety of game announcements that I have heard over the course of the last 5 days that may or may not be related to E3.
Okay. Fair enough. Tell you what I'm excited about. I'm excited that we've got our old dear comrade, Weiss, on the podcast with us today.
From Russia. Very, very similarly to Tim's. Because, like our dear departed comrades, Chad and Rich, back in the day, I feel like I'm have kind of abandoned the AAA. And, you know, all the indie announcements were pretty good. I love the Day of the Devs and the Wholesome Games Directs and the Nintendo Directs. It's just AAA stuff that, I mean, there might have been some. But it doesn't sound like there was too much aside from Souls. So
there was stuff. I mean, as someone who very much shares that sentiment, Weiss, there was stuff that even I could acknowledge, like, all right, I can tell that this is a creative thing. This is good. This is not just business as usual. This is something that is from a dev team that has only become important, you know, maybe within the last decade. So it's not like we're not just rehashing a bunch of shit. There was plenty of that. There was plenty of just rehashing things that should be dead and buried.
Hey, come on now.
Well, all right. So I'll tell you what I did. And like, we didn't discuss a format or anything, but to help me organize my own thoughts, I wrote down 5 things that got me excited. I wrote down 5 things that I thought were incredibly stupid.
Okay.
And then I wrote down 5 things that I'm going to call the good for you category. It's things that I can acknowledge are good. It's just I don't care about them personally.
I love how Dave made a format and didn't tell anyone.
Can't wait to fuck it up.
It's just been a busy 24 hours since we decided to do this podcast.
Yeah. Like, I could have probably done that. And
we don't
maybe,
have,
I don't know.
We
I was
don't
very
have to
busy
talk about
at work.
It in that way, but that's
no,
how
it's
I'm
fine.
Going to be talking
no,
about
that's,
it.
No, I think that's a good way to look at it, because this is not going to be an exhaustive review of every piece of news that happened.
That's what I figured, because, Tim, you've gone over all that on the SML podcast, I presume. Listen to the SML podcast.
Just cut to, like, an hour and a half in when we get to the Nintendo Direct and everyone comes alive.
I'm like, I'm still hot off the Nintendo Direct, so I'm like, oh yeah, whatever, E3.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, so, you know, it's weird because there wasn't an in-person E3, everybody realizes, and there's also the Jeff Keighley Summer Games Fest, which is like his own, you know, this is Jeff Keighley of the Game Awards, who's doing his own, like, video game celebration presentation thing. Which,
yeah, I believe I texted you, what the fuck is the Summer Games Fest?
Kids these days even know why Jeff Keighley is famous? Like, do they even know what G4 TV was?
Well, dude, you know G4 is coming back.
What? Yeah. Oh, shit, bruh.
I don't know if it's going to be a TV channel, but it sure will be like a I don't know what's going on with it, but that's been a thing on Twitter.
This is the half generation younger than us is very excited for us.
Really?
Yes. For G4, yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can see why.
Loves Hocus Pocus. You know.
Yeah.
5 years.
Well, it's like they were in high school. People. When we were in college and they were in high school watching G4 and loving G4, and we were not watching television at all at that time. So
we're close, but our references are so different. They love the fucking Hunchback of Notre Dame Disney movie, and like,
nobody loves.
Will Olivia Munn be there?
I believe they're casting all new. Like, I know people like Ron Funches are bending over backwards to try and get like these jobs. So
okay.
I don't know who has been.
Oh, G4?
For the new G4, yes.
Oh, it's like WWE wrestler Austin Creed / Xavier Woods, Adam Sessler, and a bunch of fucking streamers.
Oh, okay.
So no Olivia Munn then?
No.
That's a disappointment. I don't
think so as of yet. Yeah, sorry.
Right. Tell you what, I would have loved to see like Chrissy Teigen do something like that. I mean, before she, I guess, became a terrible bully.
I was going to say, she crazy?
Yeah, I mean, maybe, I guess it's not a good time for her to be in the spotlight right now, but up until very recently, I know that she's a big gamer and has fun things to say about it. She would have been a great host for this kind of thing.
Weird tangent. I see her last name and I always think Tengen.
She's bootleg.
Yeah, she's just an off-brand. I don't. Cindy Crawford. I don't know.
You should tweet that at her, and she will either think it's funny or mock you mercilessly.
That's the right ratio.
Yeah. So Jeff Keighley has his thing going on, and like I think some things are part of that, but maybe they're not. And some things are part of E3, but I think maybe some things are also just like streaming around this weekend because there's a bunch of streams going on.
The guy's just a media mogul. He's just got so many balls in the air, you know. He's a go-getter.
So it's like obviously your Ubisoft, your Microsoft, your Soft,
your skip Square, but yeah.
Your Capcom, your Squeenix, your Bandai Namco talking about like one game because they had stream time. Like that's E3. I mean, Nintendo can just do their shit whenever they want. People will show the fuck up. It doesn't have to be E3 week, but yeah, they're there.
You know, like the directs feel corporate in their own way, but they don't feel E3 / I mean, Keighley does his best, but still feels very corporate E3.
Yeah.
And that's like, it's so hard to get past. I don't think anybody likes that format.
I mean,
I was gonna say Nintendo has a good tone for their directs that's like fun video games, and so even when they're announcing like a port of Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, you're kind of like, it's a game, yay.
Yeah.
I will say Nintendo does it better than probably everybody else, I definitely started feeling those vibes really hard while I started watching the start of their Treehouse stream with Doug Bowser, and it was very. And this is something that I know, I mean, obviously they do this for a reason. People watch it, but there's a real incongruity, I think. There's a real mental disconnect for me between this thing that I engage with as an art form that I judge like purely aesthetically, you know, like these things click with me, like, do I like the art? Basically, whether that art is visual or kinetic, meaning the gameplay. And then I have to watch a presentation, people describing the bullet point features that are going to be on the back of the box. Like, casually saying, like, boy, and this feature of the gameplay, yeah, that's I'm going to be playing this game all summer. Now, this feature of the gameplay is really important as if it is a machine. You know, and I know that it is. It is a machine for fun, but like, I hate to be reminded of that. I want to engage with it as art.
It's like trying to describe a joke. It's just like this really funny joke. Let me tell you about it. Yeah. And then he did
this setup's got the very strongest.
Yeah. I mean, like, good art has kind of its own soul that's hard to. It's hard to tell people. Yeah, Super Metroid's really isolating and melancholy, but like, play the game, you know?
Right.
It's really
experiential. You know, we don't need to sell the features of, we don't sell the mechanical features of films beforehand. Right. I mean, I guess we do some technological blockbusters, I guess.
Yeah, but how do you feel about the 15-minute Les Mis video that was before Les Mis, every movie at a Regal for like a year, where they're describing how this movie that everybody ended up not liking in the first place was. Just like, no, film dorks already kind of know this stuff, and sometimes it's fun, but like, yeah, it's I don't know. Like, I had no interest in seeing more Metroid 5 because I want to play Metroid 5.
Right, right.
Like, you sell it on the trailer or, you know, like, whatever your quickie is. I don't know. Like, streaming something before the game comes out isn't really too interesting to me, I guess. Same, unless I'm, same. Like, really on the fence.
Well, yeah, and we can certainly talk, like, that's... That is a thing about Metroid 5, you know, that because yes. I have strong feelings.
I know. About
this. Okay, so Dave.
All right, so okay, let's get into it. Let's come on.
Yeah, let's get into it. I mean, I'm sure Metroid 5 is something in one of your 15 things to talk about.
It certainly is.
Okay, so lead the way, Dave, and we'll hang on to your cart.
All right. So, Metroid 5, I've got it in two places on my list. I've got it in
fantastic.
Something I was definitely hyped about. I am hyped that the fact that 15 fucking years later, Metroid Dread is a thing that actually exists and is real. I'm super hyped that Sakamoto, like, I loved watching that video where he sort of described, and that was in the Treehouse stream, where he was like, you know, this is the same idea that we came up with back then. It's just we concluded at the time that the technology couldn't fully realize what we wanted to do with the game. And we tried to restart it again about 6 years later, still wasn't ready. But now we finally, and I don't know if it was that Mercury Steam made them a pitch or if, you know, obviously, or if Nintendo approached Mercury Steam with the sort of obvious, like, well, since you built an engine for this, let's keep monetizing, you know, what the assets that you've already created. So I do think that that's a net good, but it's also on my bad list because for me, it's a real, like, monkey's paw. I finally got this thing, a new 2D Metroid, but not in the way I wanted it. You know, it's not like this. I, with the huge caveat that I have not actually played Samus Returns.
That's a pretty big caveat.
It is a pretty big caveat. Every review that I read of it, basically the gist that I got was, well, they didn't fuck it up. It's not a great game, but they didn't fuck it up. There are things.
Some people
to
really
like
liked
here.
It. Some people really like that
Some
game.
People really like that game. What turned me off, and see, this is where, like, I'm laughing at myself for judging a game by the mechanics. You know, here I am extolling the virtues of, like, I want to experience the art, but, like, I see mechanics that for me don't fit in a Metroid game, like the free 360 degree aiming, and that counter
what do you call it? Melee counter.
The melee counter. You know, those mechanics didn't excite me. Those mechanics felt like too big a change for me, and made me less interested in checking out Samus Returns. I think now it's definitely got to go on my short list before the new one comes out.
Let me tell you something, brother.
All right. Brother.
As I did play all the way through Samus Returns, and I didn't love it.
Yeah.
It felt mainly because it seemed like it was too fucking long and, like, arduous to get around in. But, like, you're right in that the melee counter and the 360 degree aiming didn't bug me as much because I'm like, it's, you know, the 20 teens, now the 2020s, like, we can do more than 8 direction aiming and I don't think it's the end of the world. But the problem was for me in that game, like, you had to do the melee counter, you got to stop and wait and then do it.
Yeah, because stop. Yeah. Right.
You got you got to wait for the thing to attack you to do the move so you can do the melee counter and move on with your life. And the same thing with the 360 degree shooting is you had to stay put and stop and shoot. And that, I feel like, made the game a lot slower.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, because when you run around Super Metroid, like, you can book it around in that game. Like, I don't know if you've seen it, but even if you're not speed running, but you run, like, you know, you're blasting things, jumping around, like, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So Samus Returns had a lot of, it felt like a lot of stop and go, and they added in, like, some bullshit that was, like, unnecessary, like, more gates to travel. But what I liked from what I saw of Dread mm-hmm. is that, if you saw when you're running and there's like a low wall, you just slide under it. You can slide. You don't have to like roll down into a ball. It's one continuous move and then you keep running. The melee counter also has a dash melee counter.
Right.
So you don't have to like wait, stand there and wait. You can cut, you can be more active with it. And you can also 360 degree shoot while you're running now. So you don't have to stop to do those things. And I think that's going to make it a lot smoother and more fun to play.
Okay.
Than Samus Returns. That's why I was watching the Treehouse stuff like very closely.
Yeah.
Trying to parse that out. And also, you know, it's on more powerful hardware and not like the last thing they're squeezing out of the 3DS.
Right.
So like that alone, you know, the frame rate looks better. Like the wall jumps looked pretty crisp.
Is the art direction close to Samus Returns? Because it's been a while.
Sure looks like it.
Okay.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, it seems like you're on some kind of a facility in Dread. Well, they said like you start at like the core of a planet and you're working your way up rather than most Metroid games where you're working your way down.
Yeah.
They talked about that as a difference. But, you know, it's you can see the lineage. You can see the arrow from one to the next in how Samus looks and moves around and just like how the world and the enemies present themselves in anime. Like, yes, obviously, you know, within 3 seconds of seeing that trailer, I'm like, oh, it's the Mercury State. It's Mercury State.
Okay, okay. Yeah, that's mostly what I was. Because it's been a while since I've even, like, looked at Samus Returns. It's like every other entry in Metroid pops up so frequently. Like, even just the sheen on the Morph Ball, I'm like, wow, that looks... There was something that felt just a tiny bit Bionic Commando rearmed.
Well, I mean... I would complain less. There it is. I hate to be a curmudgeon about being the guy that complains about it being like 2.5D fugly because it's polygons. Yeah. If it weren't for the fact that another thing on my hype list, I'm like, well, this was cool to see, were all the games that I saw at E3 that are doing amazing things with pixel art.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll hold that because we can still talk about Med. I don't want to segue away quite yet, but
I don't have much else. I was going to say, I literally didn't, because I missed the Final Fantasy stuff and then I saw Twitter, I went, nah, I'm not going to see it.
The greatest thing about my child unexpectedly getting invited to a birthday party that afternoon is that I was able to just fast forward through the Xbox and Squeenix presentations kind of stop on what I wanted. But yeah, I'm just excited that like...
Where was the party? Feels like, play school?
Some girl's backyard.
Awesome. That's the coolest.
There was a bounce house with a water slide and a splash pool.
That's so rad.
Thought my kid was going to get hypothermia, wouldn't get out of it. But I'm just, you know, it's such a precious unicorn these days when a Metroid game appears. I feel like it's just like I have to appreciate it and love it. Well, that it exists at least. I don't have to love the game in the end. I didn't love Samus Returns in the end, but I appreciate it. Like, I always feel like we're never going to see one again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, so it's wild.
Yeah, I felt that.
But yeah, I wonder if they were just like, they looked at the Resident Evil 2 remake and how Mr. X wanders around the police station. They're like, oh, we can make our game now. Like, because that looks like what's going on in Dread is those robot things are chasing your ass around dynamically.
Well, I mean, it feels like, whereas in Fusion, the moments with the SAX Samus clone were very, very scripted.
Yeah,
I wonder if this is what they meant by, like, we didn't have the technology at the time to do that dynamically.
Yes.
And now they do.
Yes. That's what Resident Evil Remake does.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So in that sense, it does feel like a natural evolution, I guess, from Fusion.
Yeah.
Everyone's favorite classic Metroid, Fusion.
That game is pretty good. I went back to it.
That's the thing. I need to go back to it.
Yeah. I was harsh on it at the time, but... After I went back to it, I was like, oh, this is actually a pretty darn good Metroid.
Yeah, it sure is.
Mm-hmm.
I need a port.
Yeah. Yes.
Maybe
yes.
Maybe that'll get a remake next.
Oh,
by
man.
Mercury Steam.
Or just, you know, put it on Switch. Just maybe just put it on Switch. Maybe just throw some Game Boy Advance games on your virtual.
Metroid Game & Watch and just put them all on there.
Yeah.
Oh, Christ. Talk about a monkey's paw. That fucking Zelda Game & Watch.
One of those stupid games I'll never beat but buy on everything I can is Return of Samus or Metroid 2.
Yeah.
I will always have that on a portable. It's just comfort food.
Bird. All right, Dave, what else you got?
The next thing that... I'm such a fucking old fuddy-duddy. Because the thing that excited me the most were all the remasters that just seemingly came out of nowhere. The thing, like, remasters of games I never really expected to happen. Things that are personal favorites of mine, like Super Monkey Ball 2. Because that is really hard for me to play right now. In order to enjoy it and share it with my kids, I have to run it in Dolphin.
You know what's nice is, I don't know, for at least the couple people that, like, when I end up at, like, a casual party, they're either playing Jackbox or Mario Party 8. And, like, throwing in Super Monkey Ball and we'll get to WarioWare, I'm just like, options. That's what I like.
On a GameCube? Yeah. They're doing this on a GameCube?
Oh, yeah, GameCube.
Like, someone's just got a GameCube out and...
No one. Everyone is surprised when my Zoom has a Dreamcast in it.
Mario Party 9 pre-owned $70 at GameStop.
Baby,
nine? Jesus, what are they up to?
They stopped numbering them at 10. Was on the Wii U, and then Super Mario Party is the Switch game, and now the whatever that one Mario Party.
Well,
dude, so that trailer for this Nintendo's thing was like a real love letter to 15 years ago and a very like hitting a very specific like early 2000s window of bringing stuff back kind of. But in that Mario Party trailer, there was like the one mini game and it had on the shelf was the Shy Guy, the wind up Shy Guy. And I like was like, oh, no.
No, I went.
I could feel it. And I was like, no, don't bring that back.
Weiss is massaging his hand for those of you listening at home. Yeah. Weiss is massaging the cramps in his hand from.
Yeah. I have PTSD from trying to wind up that fucking Shy Guy thing in Mario Party 1 and ripping my hand to pieces.
I love being an old man going, well, we used to play the first one and we needed gloves.
Yeah.
Games were tough.
We needed them fingerless baseball gloves.
Yeah.
Rip your hand right apart.
No, but like a fucking remake of Advance Wars by WayForward. Holy shit. Like...
Yeah,
the one and two. I mean, just in time for, you know, Game Boy Advance's 20-year anniversary when it's getting all sorts of glowing, like, tributes and people lamenting, like, we haven't seen one like this in a while. Well, you know, that felt like it totally came out of left field. Pixel remasters of the first six Final Fantasies, another one of those things. Like, it's the kind of thing that, like, you know, you expect Square Enix to... ignore all the fans that complain about the ugly mobile ports and how they fucking destroyed the graphics in all those games, because I'm sure they're making enough money and why would they care? Turns out someone cares enough to I wish we had more details, and I hope that it is like PlayStation Portable era, you know, remaster that they're gonna do like they did, like how Final Fantasy 1 and 2 turned out. So that it's like widescreen and high resolution pixel art, but still pixel art. And Kunio-kun, WayForward. Not only we got River City Girls 2 coming, but they're also doing a remaster of this old Super Famicom game that never got translated and did not get included in the Kunio-kun collection.
Yeah.
Which game?
It's,
they're calling it River City Girls 0.
Yeah.
It's the Super Famicom one where you play as the girls. Limited Run Games had some sneaky announcements in their in their Mega 64 produced presentation.
Jesus, Rondo.
Yeah, well, yeah, that was the thing. It's like, because you know, you tune into Limited Run, and it's mostly like, well, here are games we're just making physical to, you know, like it's nothing. they're not there to make game announcements, except when it came to, they were the ones that had Rivers. They announced River City Girls 2 and River City Zero.
They're a bigger deal. I feel like the momentum between, like, Scott Pilgrim got so much attention. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, for us, they've, you know, Jeremy Parrish is working over there. And I'm sure that's a lot of influence.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like they're getting to, like, kind of where fan gamers become, like, a spot for merch, that they are kind of a spot for the fringe.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it may be a niche in the market, but just the fact that there is commercial demand for basic game preservation, you know, yes. Like, that's all it is. Like, you know, hey, people will buy it. We just want to make sure it exists. That's all. Yeah. We just want to make sure this stuff doesn't get lost to the ether. People will pay you money to do this. It makes business sense. It's amazing.
I'm going to buy Plumbers Don't Wear Ties. Like, just because it because it's one of my favorite advertisements of all time. Not a game. Just a magazine ad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they announced that Blood Rain Betrayal port.
Yeah. That was dope.
Which is great, because that's a game that was digital on, like, PS3, Xbox 360 era, kind of lost to time, and it's a really good game.
Yeah,
really good game. Really good soundtrack.
Yeah, absolutely. I've also gotten a little bit more into the habit of, like, you know, maybe sometimes I'll just wait to see, you know, to buy a limited run physical edition just to have it, instead of buying it digitally for $10-$15 less. I'll just wait and...
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes, or if I'm buying something anyway, I'm just kind of like, you know, maybe I'll do that. So I'm definitely more keen on what they're doing lately. And they've, in fairness, they've also expanded kind of what they're doing a lot more. They're working with, like, every company. Like, they have a Mega Man, they have Wily Wars is up
ordering
right now.
Oh, I forgot about that.
They're porting over, you know, a Turbo CD game. For the first time ever, which is bananas.
I don't know if there's just something in the air, but, like, because movies have had a couple companies that have been doing this with B-movies for a little bit, mm-hmm. but it feels like the last couple years, places like Vinegar Syndrome and, like, Severin and a couple others that are, like, we'll take a movie for the same thing, for, like, film preservation. Like, mm-hmm. I bought Six String Samurai that got a 4K like remaster, giant book, all this shit. Nice. Movie called Surf 2, the end of the trilogy. There's no Surf 1. There's no Surf 3. Stuff that, like I was seriously like, someday somebody's going to dig up, like, one of the X-Strike movies and do this sort of thing, where they're just sort of like, we want to preserve.
That's and we'll finally make some bank on those fuckers.
Finally.
Oh, we'll be cut out. They'll wait until the second we're dead.
Yeah, it's like, I recently bought, there's the Neo Geo Pocket Collection for Switch, but it comes with a book by Jeremy Parrish, which is basically Neo Geo Pocket Works. And I'm like, well, I want that book, and I want that little Neo Geo collection, because I have never played any of those games, really. So, sure.
Yeah. My only stopping point on, well, besides, like, money, I guess.
But, yeah, that's, yeah.
I want to play the original, just because I only played it for, like, a couple seconds, and I love the feel of the goddamn thing. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I would love to play those at original software, but having that option is a beautiful thing.
Yeah. It'd be great if Hori made, like, a third party controller that mimicked that clicky stick.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Be nice. All right, Dave. Oh yeah. So yeah. Good. Pixely stuff. Pixel. Like that. Sure.
And Whis.
One of the things I like about the Game Boy Advance stuff, especially, like, Advance Wars getting remastered, is, as much as I like the music that was composed for those games, the Game Boy Advance sound chip is always kind of infamous. So, like, that is something to really look forward to. Mm-hmm. Like, the second Advance Wars music started playing, like, that was so exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. That was, like, if there was, like, a moment where I was at my most hype, it was that one, because I was just talking, like, a week ago to somebody about how, like, oh, they're never going to make a fucking another Advance Wars, because they just... you know, it's just Fire Emblem. That's what they're doing now, yeah. And that's it. Yeah. Advance Wars Lost and is dead to history. And then it was just like, Orange Star Army, what?
Yeah. Like,
yeah, and yeah, that music and just the animations look really nice. And
yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing bad looking about that game. It's cool. hopefully that's a feeler to like making Advance Wars 3 or, you know, a new one or whatever, but
and
we'll see.
You know what? That doesn't bother me that it's polygonal. And I don't know why. I guess I can't explain why. But here's why I'm a stupid old fucking idiot. Is all right. Because okay. All right. I'm mad that Metroid Dread is not 2D. Or mm-hmm. that it's not pixel art, but like pixel art as an aesthetic only exists for nostalgia, right? It only exists for those of us that grew up with it. Otherwise, there's no artistic reason to do it because like screens don't work like that anymore. And so the thing is, I'm super impressed when I see games like Replaced and Ayuden Chronicle. Yeah. Those are two pixel art games that were featured in Xbox's stream. They're going to be available on Game Pass day one. They are these amazing pixel art games that are not even true pixel art. It's all just polygons with shaders and shit and you know, meant to look like pixel art.
Those are both on my list, by the way.
Yeah, okay, all right. Well, they both look incredible, right? Because they're doing crazy things with depth of field. Ayuden Chronicle is, you know, it's got that sort of Shadowbox, Octopath Traveler kind of look. Replaced has a lot of, like, shaky cam work where the characters are sort of very distant and there's stuff in the foreground. There's brilliant lighting.
What's so interesting, yeah.
Yeah, oh, the lighting is gorgeous.
Right.
Yeah, they... Octopath really hit on a style for doing pixel art stuff. Dave, I don't know if you saw they're giving that treatment to Dragon Quest III now.
It looks beautiful.
Okay, yeah, you did see that stuff. Might be speaking of presentations that were better than Square's.
That was the day that I was going to buy it on the eShop, by the way, that announcement came out.
Yeah, same. Oh, yeah. Because it went on sale in the eShop.
Yeah, and it went on sale.
Dude, like... Lauren was playing it in May. She was literally playing that. She was like, you should buy one of those. And I'm like, okay, fine. They're on sale, whatever. It was like $4. And but she was, you know, she played a bunch of it, but then I was like, oh yeah, look at that. but yeah. Ayuden Chronicle, Dave, I don't know if you know, that is the new Suikoden.
Yeah. Yeah. And yes. That's why it's also on my list of like, I don't care personally, but it's super cool that exists.
It's very exciting for,
yeah, and it looks amazing. I got to get to Suikoden too. I've got both of them sitting on a PlayStation somewhere.
Yep.
But here's, I'm such a goddamn fucking hypocrite because
you're real hard on yourself today.
Well, because I'm ranting and raving about like aesthetics and like I think it's dumb to hang on to these fucking like to be precious, right? About this, I grew up with video games and this is the way I think it should look. So grr about that. I think it's dumb to be precious about that, and yet here I am being very very precious about it, and it's because I think there's a part of my brain that will just always be impressed by doing seemingly impossible things with pixel art because having grown up within the limitations of 8 and 16-bit technology, we sort of intuit. There are things that we know sort of can and can't be done with pixels because we have this sort of ingrained understanding of how that artwork is drawn. And so to see these amazing things get done with it, even if they're sort of cheating, that lighting, that dynamic lighting in the Replaced trailer that just looks so moody and atmospheric, seeing these like seemingly quote unquote impossible things being done with pixel art boggles my stupid lizard brain in a way that I should be smarter about.
Well, because we know that pixel art is an artistic choice at this point, generally. Mm-hmm. Like these,
it is, but it's only a nostalgic one.
Well, it's I don't know. Like it's obviously geared towards us, but it also seems like a choice that the creators want to do because it's CG versus 2D animation. You can technically do anything with CG, which is kind of the limitation in a weird way.
See, that's how I tried to justify it to myself with that exact same comparison, Weiss, but like, mm-hmm. we have plenty of hand-drawn 2D animated games that are not pixel art. Like, that is mm-hmm. also a thing that exists and is a very different aesthetic.
Sure.
So pixel art is like, it's purely, I don't even know what it is. Is it like applying artificial like record pops and scratches to a recording or?
Yeah, I guess there's, I ran into just an old post of my own. That's like an old Brian Eno quote. Is just like, yeah, we're nostalgic for the faults, like all those things. Like that's the stuff that sticks in our craw. It's those horrible sounds on a record. You know, why would anybody be nostalgic for cassettes? Cassettes are terrible. But yet we are. And it's I still think it's a stylistic choice when done. And also, we're not dumb. Like, we're smart consumers. We can see when a game is, I don't know, like, what's the worst case scenario for, like, what? Maybe I Am Setsuna, I know, got a lot of shit for just trying to be too close to Chrono Day.
I mean, it sold itself heavily on that pedigree.
Yeah. But I don't know. I still think it comes from a decent place.
Yeah, I think it's a thing like maybe like 10 years ago, it was all targeted at nostalgia, but now like, I think it is more a just like, well, I'm going to make a game and it looks like this. Like, or it just might be like, that's where a person's skill set is drawing pixel art. Maybe they just like to draw pixel art and that's how the game comes out. So yeah, it's tough to say like whether they're specifically being like, I want to be evocative of the NES. Well, cause I think there are games that try to shoot for like an NES spec on their game, their pixel art game. Mm-hmm. And then you have things like, or they might aim for Super Nintendo or Genesis. They might aim for like a specific console, but then you have things like Celeste, which do things that, you know, those consoles can't do. It's like, you know, mm-hmm. just a modern thing just in a pixel art style. Yeah.
And I think it's part of like targeting your emotions in a way too. It's mm-hmm. where they want you to be emotionally.
I mean, there are things that I love the aesthetic, you know, and the strengths of it are, you know, they provide this wonderful sort of barrier of, there is no uncanny valley with pixel art, right? You know, we're so far away from realistic looking images that it's more like impressionism or pointillism, I guess.
It's like what we used to talk about back in the day of before games were realistic. You know, games could be closest compared to books because you get to fill in the gaps with your imagination.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess I think about how I'm looking at the Yuden Chronicle thing and like how, you know, there was polygonal Suikoden games. The last two, yeah. I think both the last two were polygonal. And I played quite a bit of Suikoden 5 and just like the character animations felt like so slow. Like everything about that game was slow and took a while. And like you look at a Yuden Chronicle and like, you know, the animations and attacks are very, very snappy, which is, I think, something more you can get away with 2D art and pixel art. Cause you're not animating like a whole polygonal character. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
No. There are fewer frames of animation because you're doing more with the artwork to sell the illusion of motion.
Yeah.
That's why there are so many strengths to the medium. I just, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes I question whether or not, like, this is an art style that doesn't exist because, like, it's an art style. I compare it to pointillism and impressionism, but those are art styles that only appeared within the last 200 years, and there have been thousands of years of art before then, you know. Mm-hmm. So, like, that was an art style that someone came up with, not out of necessity, but out of artistic representation, whereas pixel art is an art style that only exists because of technological limitations and only persists because there is a generation of people that associate it with video games. And I think because we associate it with video games, our children do too. You know, you see children, I mean, kids' clothes and stuff, like the video game aesthetic is pixel art. If there's a print
looks
on
like
a kid's
Minecraft.
Clothes or a backpack, that it looks like Minecraft, right?
So yeah, my child said that the other day.
Maybe it's just like, anchored in the public consciousness so much now that I can stop. I don't have to worry about it, but.
Yeah. Well, it's like, in another 10 years, like you're going to have people, or maybe 15 years, you're going to have people making pixel art games based on today's, you know, their love of today's pixel art games. Yeah. And it's just like, then it stops being relevant so much, like that was the origin of it.
No, that's all art gets rolled into what you are doing. I mean, like Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul are still John Ford Westerns, like carried forward. Like they just grab what they like out of it and toss everything else away. So it's always video games are so fascinating because we weren't there at the beginning, but we were
pretty close,
near enough
that we get to see this evolution as it's going. Games are cool.
Fuck, we're old.
Yeah. Dave, I definitely also fall for that trap. It's like, you know, when I was watching fast forwarding through the Xbox conference, and it's like I see the name Annapurna pop up, and I'm like, hold up.
Yep.
Hey, hold up, I gotta see what they're doing here. And then it's like fast forward a little more, and then it's like, hold on. There's that what's that game that starts with an R that you just said?
Replaced.
Replaced, yeah. Like, I gotta look at that game. That looks like something that's up my alley. Yep, like, you know,
yeah, go over the two things.
Yeah, and like what was the other one? Somerville. Which was like the alien.
It looked like
sort of the
superintendent.
Deal. Yes, Somerville. Absolutely. Wow, what a throwback joke that is, Dave. Shit, the guy who was superintendent in Sodus like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, this is
I assume that's where the game's back.
Well, it's like you start out like family on the couch, and then it's like a War of the Worlds invasion thing, and you're like running with your family and trying to escape like aliens, and like shit's going to hell and dropping from the sky, and there's like soldiers.
But it
struck me being more like Limbo or Inside. Like that sort of
okay, I'll check that later then.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like that looks like something that could be
in my
alley. Back for Blood is the Left for Dead Left for Dead 3 basically that I've had my eye on for a while. Yeah, I know. I mean, they know what they're doing.
Well, we all have our biases too. Like, if I see anything first person sports game that's not arcade cards,
which ends up being kind of a lot of the stuff in the Xbox conference is just stuff that I'm just like, I'm just you know, Stalker 2 and their one more thing, which was that Arcane. It was Left 4 Dead, but with vampires. I was like, whatever. I already have Back 4 Blood coming. I don't give a shit about this. So it's you know, Halo. I'm like, I don't fucking care. Like, I'm sorry, I just don't.
And they also cater to different groups.
Yeah.
Also, like, what was it? One of the guys that used to write for Destructoid was like, if you were 35 and older, E3 thumbs up. If you were 26 and younger, you don't care at all.
Yeah. Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, okay, so there's not a lot in Xbox's presentation that was for me, but even I have to acknowledge that slate of exclusives is impressive, especially with Bethesda and, you know, in their suite of exclusives now. Because you know, people are hyped for Starfield. I won't be there day one. I hope to be there someday, but people are definitely thrilled to do it. And I think Microsoft is kind of banking on, you know, it being an exclusive that will sell systems, but also, you know, hopefully if they work on expanding their cloud gaming service, they can also pitch it. You know, that you got Todd Howard over here saying, like, between Game Pass and cloud gaming, more people are going to get to play this than if it were on every system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the end of the day, what Microsoft is selling at that conference is Game Pass. Mm-hmm. we talked about it on SML last night, but there was three games in their presentation that were not on Game Pass. So at the end of the day, it's like, I look at all these trailers and I'm like, well, it's on Game Pass, so I'll probably try it for 5 fucking minutes at least. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I might as well. I will say the one, I mean, obviously Psychonauts 2, they have that. Mm-hmm. So that's,
yeah. I avoided that trailer because, like, one, the game's coming anyways. And
yeah.
Just like, I've been sold on that game.
Yeah. It existed. Yeah. I watched it. I'll say it looks good. I'm excited about it.
Yeah. No,
it looks pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
But the, you know, I think I am interested in Atomic Heart, which is like Soviet Union Fallout, basically, it looked like, sort of, maybe. Yeah. I'm
that's
okay.
That's how people are pegging it. Who made that game? Weiss, did you make Atomic Heart?
I made Atomic Heart. Is that,
I don't know. I thought I was going to sneeze. That was kind of like what my problem was there, partially.
Okay, that's okay. You okay? You're okay.
Yeah, it's not coming now. Mundfish.
Oh, old, good old Mundfish.
Mundfish.
Yes. Are they a Russian dev?
Yes, yeah, they are a Russian studio. Okay. This seems like, no, Mick Gordon is making the music for it.
Oh, so that will...
I don't know him.
Thrash
Doom,
or...
He did Doom 2016.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, this appears like it might be like their first game. They don't have their own Wikipedia page.
That's
so
sweet. It's pretty for cool. Those guys.
How was the music in Doom 2018, 19?
What's up?
Eternal? One of the... Doom Eternal?
Doom Eternal was the second one.
Yeah, how was the music
in that? Last year?
I haven't played it yet. It's on Game Pass, though. I haven't downloaded it on my Xbox. I just haven't gotten to it yet.
It's on sale on Switch right now for half price.
But I just have it on my Xbox. what I will say for the presentation is that Forza Horizon 5 is...
Most I have never cared
about
game.
That series. I have never cared about that series, but boy, did that game look, like, real good. Like... I was just, you know, it's a racing game, but it looks real good. And I was like, damn, that there looks real good. Like when they're driving down like a stream and it just looked awesome. I'm like, well, that's exciting that games can look like that.
I sure wish I liked Forza Horizon.
Yeah, me too.
I sure wish it was just a little more on the left side of simulation for me.
Is to the left away from simulation?
I'm considering simulation on the right as it's more conservative. As it's
gotcha. Yeah.
Progressive. Yeah.
I haven't played the Horizon games. I know they're more liberal than the Forza Motorsport games proper.
That's what they say. You'd think so, but the handling is like, I did not find the handling particularly forgiving.
Okay. Yeah, but yeah, I wish I was more excited about that, but I will say that it looks very good, and that's it.
So hotly anticipated, that one.
Hotly. Dave, what else you want to...
Breath of the Wild 2? Breath of the Wild 2, people?
All right, okay, sure.
Breath of the Wild 2, Skyward Sword Part 2, apparently.
I mean, that goes under your definition of not for me, but I'm excited for everybody that's excited for it.
Okay.
Oh, you didn't like Breath of the Wild?
Yeah. Yeah, I just... Well, I didn't know about the weapon breaking, but also, it was just a little, it was making me work for the game a little more than I was interested in working for. So I sold it after about 4 hours.
Wow. Oh, man.
Wow. Oh,
literally.
Weiss.
Oh. I kept trying.
Phyllis.
It kept punishing.
Fair enough.
Yeah, no, I know. You know, it's funny how many people, you know, describe that as the thing that turned them off. And I thought for sure that I was not looking forward to that. I thought for sure that I would hate that. It just stopped being an issue for me real quick. And thank goodness it did, because if I did end up hating it, I think I would have been in the same boat as you there, Weiss.
I think it was a combo, and I'm sure I was missing something, but it was like the combination of that slash the menu system, because I had to go into the menu system like two subsets, if I remember right, every time something broke. So it was like something broke, pause, go in here, get the thing, come back out. And then I'm like, where am I? It was just
one there's a quick way to do that with the D-pad.
Yeah.
Well, that might have been the thing that was missing.
Yeah. I don't know.
No, that's okay.
The weapon durability was a thing for a lot of people. Some people pushed through it, and some people... bitching about that or criticizing that, bubbling back up on Twitter in the last 24 hours as people were like, man, I hope they get rid of weapon durability.
No, and this is the thing where it feels like a me problem, not a game problem. Like, this is definitely something that a lot of people enjoy slash it enhances the experience for a lot of people.
Like for me, it was just like, oh, it's making me try out a bunch of different stuff. And for the most part, I never found myself in a situation where it was like, shit, I have no weapons. Or if I did, it was like, okay, now I have to be creative. But it didn't end up being like a problem for me. And I just kind of stockpiled my good weapons for when I had to fight something gnarly. But that's fine. But that game, you know, obviously looks pretty cool for someone who really enjoyed Breath of the Wild.
Sure.
I mean, I just can't even, you know, for Breath of the Wild was, it's so huge, you know, and so all encompassing. It is, it's sort of difficult to, it has been ever since part two was announced, to imagine what they could possibly do differently, where they could take this.
Apparently up.
Well, yeah, apparently.
Sky seems like they made it a big deal. I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like, especially after the push for Skyward Sword, I'm like, yeah, you're going up.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of speculation that time travel is going to be a thing in this one. From some people picking apart the trailer.
Oh.
Yeah, that it might be a time travel thing. Like the rocks in the sky might be one era, and not rocks in the sky Hyrule might be another era. So.
I've heard people wondering whether or not the rocks in the sky are existing, like, areas from the current Breath of the Wild that have been, you know, just sort of remixed and deformed now that they're up in the sky. So just a new twist on the existing structure. Because otherwise, like, it's not like, you know, the change between Ocarina to Majora, where they're like, well, this is... It's not Hyrule, it's Termina. It's a different place. It's very similar, but it's a different place. You know, because the body and shape of the landscape of Hyrule now is kind of set. So you make a sequel to that, where are you going to take it? I guess I do wonder if each of these, you know, maybe each of these islands in the sky is going to be sort of a dungeon. Maybe those are the dungeons, and maybe this is how we get more, like, proper dungeons in Breath of the Wild, which was another big complaint.
Yeah. Maybe. Well, I don't know. We'll find out in 2023.
Yep. Yeah.
Let's be real here. I don't know. Maybe it'll come out next year. But...
Why did they put a year on it?
They said, like, we're aiming for 2022. Well, it's like, well, if you say you're aiming, that means you might miss. Yeah. It's like, if you said aiming for end of 2021, then I would have believed you'd hit 2022. But
yeah, well,
you know, the game industry has, you know, I guess maybe for the past six months or so, at least, has felt so much to me like it's returned to normal, that I've sort of forgotten that we've had to endure a pandemic. And I was just reading an article at Polygon that said, like, it was sort of addressing, like, why didn't Nintendo announce their new hardware at E3? And they said, like, well, you know, beyond the fact that it's Nintendo and they'll announce it whenever the fuck they want, we've just gone through a pandemic. It's entirely possible.
That was the exact conversation I had at work.
Oh, really?
Where someone was like, I just got a paycheck. I want to buy a Switch Pro. Come on, why didn't they? And I'm like, pandemic. Probably didn't have the parts.
Yeah, exactly. Chip shortages and, you know, supply pipeline holdups.
Also, they did not necessarily need to say anything about it at you know, E3 here. Like, that is what everyone's expectation is.
But they haven't made a hardware announcement in E3 in a decade.
Exactly. But if I recall correctly, because I had money riding on this at the time, the PlayStation 3 Slim leaked before E3, but they did not announce it until like a month later in the one in Europe.
Gamescom?
Yeah, Gamescom. They did not announce it until Gamescom.
Oh.
So everyone kind of knew it was coming, and then it didn't show up at E3, and everyone was like, what the fuck? Why wouldn't you announce it at E3? They announced it at Gamescom, which was about like 5 weeks out from the release. Hmm. And yeah, like remember when Nintendo announced the date and price for the Switch, it was less than 2 months before it came out.
Yeah.
When they revealed the Switch, it was less than 5 months before it came out. I could definitely see them like, oh, we're going to do a direct in the middle of July and it comes out in August, like the end of August. Like they would do that. 100%.
Oh, I mean, looking at their past announcements, I'm thinking for Nintendo, at least in the past 10 years, they'll announce a new piece of hardware in August and it will release in October.
Yep. Yeah. They'll probably announce it like within 8 weeks before it releases. Yeah. So it could still come out this year, despite what people think.
Yeah. So that totally tracks. But also, you know, I mean, I forgot that, you know, probably a lot of the Breath of the Wild team has been working from home for the past year, and that introduces delays.
Yeah.
And so they might be targeting, you know, they could feel like right now they're on track for 2022, but anything could happen. So,
yeah. Well, it's like, there's been a lot of games delayed out of 2021 into 2022 already.
Yeah.
Sure. Mostly games I don't really particularly care about, but like it is a real thing. Like you didn't see that as much last year because games were mostly done when everyone went home. So it was like really testing and bug fixing. But like in terms of actual development, that fucked over things that were going to come out this year.
Yeah.
Maybe early next year.
Yeah, so that's kind of the difference between like games and film, because film got fucked so bad and everybody saw like at the time as Black Widow comes out in what, a month?
At this point. Yep.
But thank you, Animal Crossing, for coming out at the perfect time.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
Thank you, every game that did make it out last year, after the pandemic.
Bravo. So we salute you.
Yeah. Dave, what else you got on there?
WarioWare. There's going to be a new WarioWare, which, of course, we knew. But
did we?
Did we?
So Nintendo put out a survey just a couple of weeks ago saying, if we released a new WarioWare, would you buy it at launch? Or something to that effect.
Something cheeky. Yeah.
And so I guess what I like about this is that it's been a while. Since I think the last WarioWare that I really enjoyed and thought was innovative was Twisted, the one with the motion sensor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all the other WarioWare since then have just sort of felt like treading water. So this feels like the first new thing that I can imagine having fun with the WarioWare concept all over again, that you, it's not just, the WarioWare concept is 1-2 button presses max, you know, within a span of 3 to 5 seconds. It breaks game mechanics down just to their very, very absolute core. And that was, it was mind-blowing 20 years ago. But it's been 20 years since, I don't know, 18 years, since WarioWare Inc. Mega Micro Games first graced our Game Boy Advance screens. And so I think the idea of, all right, let's try it a different way. Let's give you direct control over a 2D platforming controlling character and use those mechanics to solve these 3-second challenges in different ways. Mm-hmm. I think that's an interesting, like, just lateral thinking way to approach the WarioWare concept. It's got me interested. I'm super excited.
Yeah, super excited. I mean, for the amount that we played the GameCube WarioWare, the idea that perhaps Nintendo's online won't suck on this one.
Boy, that'd be nice.
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath, but that would be nice. The co-op, who knows what's going to happen with them couch co-op.
Yeah. Oh, my kids are going to love this.
It doesn't have online play.
No, it doesn't?
No, it has local wireless and same Switch console. I was like, there's no way it's online. Nintendo.
That's a bummer. I know. Nintendo.
They cut you off at the knees before you even cross the starting line. you what do you think you're doing? But yeah, that's,
I'm an idiot and I'll buy it day one. So
yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, it's fucking WarioWare. WarioWare is fun. WarioWare Gold was a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, that was the last one I played.
Yeah, which was the kind of compilation. They also did that Rhythm Heaven compilation as well. I think they were both called Gold, but
yeah,
they had a few new things in each one of those, so they were worth checking out. But yeah, it's new WarioWare again, something I didn't think I'd really see.
Yeah,
so that's awesome.
Yeah, and it keeps that that franchise going, really.
Yeah,
that's kind of the number one in a way.
So Tim, tell me about Elden Ring.
All right. Well, do you like Dark Souls?
I appreciate that it is a thing. I haven't, it hasn't clicked with me yet, but okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So, well, yeah, this is the new Dark Souls game.
Yeah.
Got
old George R.R. attached to it too, right?
Got old George R.R. helping out with the building the lore of the world. Yeah, I haven't actually gotten to read, like, there's like a big IGN article about it that I haven't gotten to read yet. But, you know, the whole idea is that I think it's even more like open world as opposed to previous kind of games in that lineage, where they still kind of shoot you down paths. But, you know, watching that trailer, like, you know, I understand the language of Miyazaki-san and what he is saying, and it's like, really, like, and what's going, it's just like, yeah, that's, it's his new game, and that's really all that matters. But
that's what's so amusing to me about watching that trailer, because I mean, it looks good. It could look like any medieval game
if
you don't know what it's. Yeah. And that's why I'm going, like, there's a language here that I just don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was so funny to me.
Yeah, that really is kind of it. Because when I look at it and you know, I'm hearing the things they're saying, like they're talking about the Untarnished. And I'm like, okay, well, that's like your base character piece of shit. That's what they refer to them as in this game. Yeah. And like certain other things, like seeing the bells and the blue phantoms. So I'm like, okay, that's a piece of the multiplayer element. And then seeing like that big four-legged creature with the bell, I'm like, okay, that bells have some kind of significance in this game, much like they did in the original Dark Souls. So like, these are the things that I am picking up and pulling out while watching that trailer.
Well, and that's I feel like we've stepped away from gatekeeping. We know that gatekeeping is such a negative, toxic thing, but we still have an itch in any kind of like field for that feeling special that you know a thing. And I feel like Souls kind of has that.
You're it's part just sort of the special of, club.
Yeah, you're part of the party.
I want more people to be part of the club, though. It's such a cool club. But it's a hard club to get into. Well, I understand.
What it says to me, Tim, and it's something that I kind of wish that other developers would embrace, it used to be, back in the old days, here I go again with a fucking nostalgia trip.
I said the horse is a big new thing. Like, that is kind of the big tell that the world is a lot bigger than it has been in the past. Like, being able to summon yourself a ghost horse and ride across the land.
Which is cool.
Yeah,
sorry.
Well, no, just so you know, back when developer teams were smaller, it was not unreasonable to expect a game that had the same design language from a developer that did not necessarily occur within the same series, right? So like when you got a Konami platformer, you knew that they would have certain things in common, even if you know, one was an original property and one was a licensed platformer. Same thing with Capcom, right? You know, they had a certain shared design language. And so you could expect a similar sort of pattern. And From Software has this, you know, opportunity that a lot of other developers don't really avail themselves of, where they've got the Souls series proper, but then they have these other avenues to explore those mechanics in other ways that are not like bound to, like, we don't have to be Souls in Bloodborne necessarily. Mm-hmm. We don't have to be Souls in Sekiro. We can do the same thing. It's a similar, and people, you know, will identify that if you like the Souls games, you will obviously also like these other properties. But because we're not tied down to the expectations of what a Souls game is, we can do other things.
Mm-hmm. It's an auteur theory. Yeah. Because that's always kind of been like, I think, you know, you say like Konami, or we would go to like Mario, or specifically like R&D 1 or 2 or whatever. But like, this is almost like, oh, it's Miyazaki-san. You know, it's mm-hmm. you're going for that very specific fingerprint.
Yeah, but Nintendo
Dogma doesn't have to be in Red Bank, New Jersey, but it's still the same as Mallrats and Clerks.
Yeah, but Nintendo doesn't make other 3D platformers other than Mario.
Yeah.
Right, you know, because they know they've got this tentpole franchise, and that's where they want to pour their resources into the thing with the name recognition, the thing that will sell. So Nintendo doesn't make other, you know, new properties in these existing genres. Mm-hmm, if they mm-hmm. did, though, imagine all the cool, crazy ideas that they could explore, like they used to with the Wario Land series. You know, that used to be sort of the B platforming series where they could go all weird and experimental. I wish more developers would explore these other avenues for same genre, different series, mm-hmm. gives you the freedom to be more creative.
I agree.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned the language, because like last year, Joe, like, so it was like a fucking Monday morning, and Joe sent me, he was like, hey, do you have any interest in reviewing this game called Mortal Shell? And I'm like, I have no idea what this is. Mm-hmm. And I watched the trailer, and within like 30 seconds, I'm like, oh, they're trying to do a Souls thing here. Like, I just, like it's the way like even the copycats present themselves,
yeah.
That it's like, oh, I see what you're doing here. And yes, I am interested actually in seeing what is going on here. It's just like,
and
the
way
the characters, it actually was, oh. it was actually, I really enjoyed it. It was kind of like a fun, like it was smaller scale. Like it was only like 10, 15 hours to get through it. It only had like three major areas. So it was kind of, and it was, I think it was only like $30 at launch too. So it was kind of like a cool indie. It was made by a very small team as well. So it was kind of like a cool small Souls sort of deal.
Small Souls.
Yeah. There's like another game I'm following on Twitter where it's like the trailer crossed my timeline. And, you know, again, like after about 10 seconds, I'm like, oh, I get it. Yep. I understand what you're saying to me. You have found me.
Weiss, do you like bourbon?
The Jet Fire smile. Oh, there it is.
Weiss, do you like bourbon?
Sometimes, but not in a people that like bourbon sense of bourbon. In that, like, I feel like people get obsessed with different bourbons. Okay. I've liked what I've tasted, but yes. I couldn't tell you good or bad, probably.
Okay. Okay, I'm drinking a local bourbon, and it occurred to me
maple.
That since I'm going to be getting the privilege of seeing you soon, wondered if you would enjoy a bottle of this local bourbon made in Fairport.
Rattlesnake Rosie's maple bacon for those that are listening to this, which is everyone.
Or does that just sound disgusting to you?
As we talk of our age, I definitely drink way less because whether I feel it or not that night, the next day... gone. Like I found, so it's kind of a bummer. Yeah. Like I'll have like a one or a two now. I'm a one or a twoer.
One or I'm drinking a shot. I'm sipping a shot glass at a time. It's and mm-hmm. since we've started an hour and 20 minutes ago, I have lost track of how many shot glasses this is. I'm a one or a twoer a week. Now that's about all my stomach will allow for me, but this is probably a little more obvious than yes. than that.
Yes,
because we're all experimenting in pandemic, and we learn things about ourselves.
I rearranged my whole house. What the you know? Don't know, but yeah, Elden Ring was kind of the biggest thing for me from this weekend, just because it was something that I've been waiting for. It's in like kind of the series that is the hottest business for me right now. It's by the time it comes out, it'll be 3 years since Sekiro came out, and I'm just looking for that next high. But also in that same presentation, they had Salt and Sacrifice, which is the sequel to Salt and Sanctuary, which is another Souls-like game.
Oh, is it?
Okay. Yep.
But 2D, that, right?
Yeah, it's 2D Souls.
Charlie Murder Team.
Which actually kind of fucks with some things in the formula more than I thought it would, at least with that one. So one of the things that made it not as interesting as a Souls game is that it had a classic Metroidvania map, and it was like, oh, I know where I'm going all the time. that messes things up, it turns out.
Oh, hmm.
Which is why it's a cool thing in Hollow Knight where you don't always have the map right away.
Right.
And one of the things that makes Hollow Knight a little more Soulsy than something that was very deliberately trying to be Soulsy. Yeah. That presentation also had Metal Slug Tactics.
Yes, it did. That's when I joined the presentation.
Yeah.
That blew up, and I'm just like, what? It existing in the first place is a goddamn miracle. I mean,
yeah, it's like XCOM, but like with a Metal Slug theme, which is cool because I like both of those things.
Now, I heard that this existed, but I didn't get to see the trailer. Who is making this?
This is Dotemu.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So it is a name of some repute in the kind of in that space of taking properties and updating them to modern consoles or making just modern games out of them, I guess.
Sound effects sounded right. That was kind of my big, I'm just like, because Metal Slug has a very particular, like bullet sound, grenade sounds.
That's
what I care about.
Yeah, they're not going for like their shiny cell art like in Streets of Rage 4. Like the characters do look more like they do in Metal Slug, though made for a 3/4 view.
Sure, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I get the feeling it's going to be like kind of a tactics light is what I'm worried about, but I hope they go hard. I don't know. Yeah. I would be fine, I suppose.
Yeah. As long as it's not like just a phone game, but I don't think it will be.
That's all of our biggest fears, right? Like when things announced. It's like coming to mobile.
Yeah. I'm just like, I know phone games can be good, but it's just not really a space that I get excited about. So
It usually tells me a difference of like how much I'm mentally going to be invested. Like like mobile games are time. It's just sort of like we want to fill your time.
Yeah, like if I have the time to sit and play a game on my phone for a lengthy period of time, I probably have the time to sit and play something else for a lengthy period of time. You know, like so.
Yeah.
Exactly. What else?
Well, are you excited for that Shin Megami Tensei?
A little bit there. Yeah, I mean that's one of the reasons I bought a Switch was because they teased that in the very first like Switch presentation.
Yeah. So I still have not played Nocturne, despite the fact that I own it in at least two different formats. I could immediately tell that there was an obvious visual lineage and story lineage there to that that game. Am I off base there?
Also, like musically, it feels like they tied Nocturne to 4 into 5. Like they was doing some really interesting things with the melody.
Yeah, so it is similar to 4. You know, was on the 3DS. And that was a game where you were like samurais living above destroyed apocalypse Tokyo. And this seems like a little bit more like Nocturne, where in Nocturne, you know, the world kind of imploded around you. And this one, you're getting sucked into the demon world and just like looking at the backgrounds kind of being this like destroyed, desolate desert in some areas. Definitely is evocative of Nocturne, but it looks real slick. Like, I think the demons look real good, like, especially for a Switch game. Like, it just looks really, really nice. The music was awesome.
I want the soundtrack. But yeah, and seeing the demons on the field, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's always good to get to the not having random battles is great. So you know what demons you want to attack. And they're not even like shadows like they are in Persona, you know?
Right.
So you literally see what you're about to fight.
So, I wonder if they'll play with that. So have some tricksters.
Probably, knowing them. So they got all, you know, looks. They were kind of going over the mechanics, and it's like, yep, those are the Megaten tactics. So it's a game I've been waiting for 4.5 years by the time it comes out, and I can't wait to play it.
Yep. Yeah, I was like, that and Psychonauts were the big ones for me.
Yeah, I'm not disappointed by what I saw of Megaten 5 at all in the least.
Are any of us big Deus Ex fans who are super excited about Guardians of the Galaxy?
No.
Not I.
All right.
It looked like an okay 3D action game that, you know, that's about it.
Yeah.
It might be fun to play, but it's not like a priority.
Looked like Marvel's Avengers to me. Like, yeah. Hey, generic Star-Lord that's not Chris Pratt.
Yeah. Right.
All right. Can we can we talk about what I thought was the just number one worst, stupidest thing at E3? Mm. And I really feel like the entire, literally the entire internet agrees with me.
I think I know what this is.
That everyone seems to be in lockstep in agreement that this is the stupidest thing at E3. And that is Stranger of Paradise.
Yep. Yep.
Final Fantasy Origins.
Oh, okay.
Chaos!
I'm looking for chaos.
I have to stop chaos.
Hearing the rumors about this game, it sounded really cool. There is a demo out. I haven't gotten to play it. I've heard it plays well, but...
If you've gotten it successfully running, because wasn't it like corrupt?
Oh yeah, it had like a problem or something, but it's supposed to be out for a couple weeks. So I probably won't get to fucking even think about it till Saturday probably. But.
Yeah.
Not to leave it this quickly, but demo wise, did either of you play the Sable demo?
I have it downloaded. No.
I'm hoping to this weekend. I am very, very much looking forward to that. That game is just like artgasm to me.
This is escaping me. Sable?
Yeah, it's on Steam. It's hard to describe.
it looks like, if you know what Mobius/Heavy Metal the movie comics look like, it's imagine if Journey was like super saturated.
You know? I see. Yeah, I'm looking at it now.
Hang on. Yeah.
Keep talking. I need to get more water.
All right. I just
agree with him stylistically. Like, I follow the dude on Twitter and shit. Mm. And he said exactly what when the Dune trailer hit. He's just sort of like, that looks like a good movie, but I wish it looked like a Mobius comic. I was just like, I watched the Sable trailer and I'm like, yeah, we kind of got the same.
Yes, my brother, I hear you.
Yes,
wow. Okay. Yeah. What do you do in this game? You know, it doesn't matter.
That's the thing I don't know. There's like a 13-minute like video. I'm like, I'm not gonna. Whatever. Yeah, but I want to try the game. I think it's roughly open world kind of build, but
it's fun.
Man, I would just chill and drive around in that world.
It is hard for me to tell just by looking at this trailer that I'm watching right now, but it almost looks as if they have like artificially reduced the frames of animation to give it a more hand-drawn.
It definitely is hand-drawn, I'm fairly sure.
Well, I mean, it looks like shader heavy. It looks like this is a fully 3D polygonal game that they've done a whole lot of very careful shader work to make it look gorgeously hand-drawn. But I think they've also done the thing where they've like adjusted the frame rate to make it closer to like 20 frames per second or like 18 frames per second so that it, you know, looks more like hand-drawn animation. Yeah, okay, that looks fucking cool. Shoot, I can't start the download from here because this is not my gaming PC. Okay, I'll just leave this window open then for the next week or so, probably until I remember to go ahead and download that on my gaming PC instead.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping to do Saturday.
I would also, in terms of Steam demos, I think it is worth, well, I hope it's going to be worth checking out Sephany, which is
Sephany? Stephanie?
Yes. Sephany, like Sephonieh. There's no H at the end of it. I don't know why I said that. Sephany. Sephonieh. It's like you're spelling Sephiroth, but then Sephany.
Sephonia.
Sephonieh. So it's made by the guy who made Anodyne 2, which I really liked.
I know.
This is like a third person platformer parkour game that I've kind of been following him in development, and there is a demo out now that I'm hoping to
on Steam.
I have downloaded Yes, on Steam. I started to check it out.
Spell this game for me?
S. E.
Okay, yeah.
P.
Yeah, okay.
H.
Oh, P-H, okay.
O.
O. O.
N.
N.
I.
I.
E.
Sephony?
Yeah,
Sephony. There we go. I was close, and it didn't even like...
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, speaking of games going for specific aesthetics, he likes to work in like a PS1, early PS2 sort of space. Mm. So yeah, I'm interested in... it's not as much of a looker as Sable, but I am interested in checking out the mechanics of it.
Yeah, those are some fun textures there.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing is like... There's so many different kinds of PS1 because, like, I'm not nostalgic for low poly like a lot of people are, but there's also, I don't know, there are certain things about that.
Well, there's 1995 PS1, and then there's like Vagrant Story PS1, right. You know, yeah, like exactly. There's a range between, like, you know, developers just finding their footing with polygons and then like actually making games that look halfway decent.
Right.
Just with shittier frame rates than you remember.
But it's also a very different aesthetic than like N64, because there was recently a very like deliberately N64 game, like a shooter that came out on Switch. It was reviewed on Nintendo Life. The name escapes me because it wasn't a great game, but
yeah.
I feel like they look like cloudier is what I think of when I think of N64, like not as sharp.
Yeah, more anti-aliasing, just fuzzy edges around everything.
Mm-hmm. Mega Man 64 games are the ones that, I don't know, that's what I picture every time.
That's funny. I can't picture Mega Man 64 without picturing the PlayStation version.
Yeah. You were transitioning.
Stranger of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origins.
Oh, right, shit.
Oh, boy. Like, the internet's making fun of it for, like, all the right reasons, of course, but I think the thing that I haven't seen people make fun of it for expressly yet is, who the fuck is... Where is the goddamn, like, 13-year-old edgelord kid who this game is for? And why is Tetsuya Nomura just perpetually this person? Presumably, like...
Yeah.
Why does Tetsuya Nomura just continuously make games for 15-year-old American weebs specifically, but that are also like grimdark edgelord, like, oh, I'm super into seeing a hero smash a demon's face with his fist and say a cool catchphrase. Why? Like, this game just feels like all of gaming's worst impulses rolled into one. Like, it's a grim remake of a fucking NES game. It's just so ridiculous. It is comically bad, just on every level. I'm glad everyone's making fun of it, but I'm also deeply, deeply embarrassed by it.
It's gonna be a game that, like, one kid plays and loves and didn't realize like everything around it until like 5-10 years later, and then starts talking about his favorite game.
It's his first Final Fantasy game. Then he gets looking to Final Fantasy games. He's like, oh man, that Dirge of Cerberus looks so good.
It's his Mystic Quest.
That's what it is. Something.
Oh, I guess God.
I don't know.
That pendulum.
That game did not look great.
I mean, I haven't played a lot of Team Ninja's OVR particularly either. Like, you know, I actually never played Ninja Gaiden back in the old Xbox days, so played a little Dead or Alive.
Hey,
so
there's a collection coming.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I feel like this is probably in their wheelhouse, but, you know, I feel like this fits the Team Ninja aesthetic.
Yes, 1,000% from this description alone. And I enjoyed that. That's the thing. And again, there were like four or five different versions of that original Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah.
I just did not care. I did not play Black. I did not play whatever Z, Zelda.
Sigma, Delta, Sigma. Alpha, Kappa, Alpha, Beta, Chi.
I somehow made it.
I didn't know that they made Dissidia.
Team Ninja did?
Oh, yeah.
Apparently they also worked on Hyrule Warriors with Omega Force.
That I didn't know.
Oh.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. They made...
Which Dissidia? The most recent one? Or like the PSP ones?
Apparently there was one more recent than the PSP one, so
yeah.
That's that
yeah,
one.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Holy shit, I didn't know that. Wow.
oh, yes.
They made Ultimate Alliance 3, the Black Order, for the Switch.
Wow.
Okay.
They made Fire Emblem Warriors with Omega Force. I'm looking at their wiki page.
Wow.
They must have been recruited for...
They did not make the second Hyrule Warriors. Apparently, yeah, they do the Platinum Games thing and subtly whore themselves out to fund their own bullshit.
All right. Itagaki is no longer, like, even with that studio, though.
Correct.
Right? He was the visible face of the company for the longest time. Where, like, his like, Matrix, like, leather jackets. He was the guy with the sunglasses and... Back in the 2000s.
Yeah.
Yeah, just wow. Wow, that game. Wow. And that is what we, like, lead with. Like, that is what someone thinks, yes.
Oh, that was the opening of Squares?
I don't know if that was their
one more thing, so that was their big deal.
I see. Yeah.
I hate how one more thing has become such a thing.
Yep.
So annoying.
Thanks, Marvel.
Tell you what else annoys me. That Nintendo currently has no other plans to celebrate Zelda's 35th anniversary. But I'll tell you what.
No, they have a Game & Watch, Dave.
We'll give you this stupid little useless plastic thing. Now, I'm holding
it. Yeah,
holding one up.
Yeah, I was about to say, did you like the Super Mario one so much that it's there in your hand?
Oh, it's here in my hand. I wanted it. I thought it would be a fun collector's item. And I played it the day that I opened up the package, and now it has sat here on my desk ever since, untouched, because it's a bad way to play Super Mario Brothers.
Yep.
And it's, you know, purely just this stupid little novelty thing. And I'm glad that the Zelda one at least improves on it by including more games, like especially one.
Yeah, multiple games in there is a step, anyways.
Well, especially one as meaty as Link's Awakening. You know, like that's actually a thing that like you could sit down and spend some time with. But like, boy, I'd rather have that on Switch instead.
Yeah.
And not locked to the stupid proprietary piece of hardware.
I think all of those on my 3DS. So, I mean, $50 isn't a bad price. I like all three of the, well, I like two of those games. One of those games I really want to spend more time with constantly.
Now, I know that people in the know have stated that the Wii U ports of Twilight Princess and Wind Waker are 100% coming to Switch. Like, absolutely, it's happening.
Yeah, I thought those were going to get announced here, but he said there's nothing that's coming. But I wonder if he's lying.
I suspect Aonuma might be lying.
Yeah. I can't remember whether he said there's nothing else or we don't have anything else. He didn't say that we don't have anything else to announce. Maybe he did. I don't know. Maybe it was lost in translation. But and they could 100% do a direct in September and be like, hey, here's Wind Waker next month.
Right. Yeah. Because
they did that with Mario last year. Yeah.
Right. So, fucking Nintendo at E3. I mean, I know that they save their bombshells for when they want to do it, and they are definitely in no way beholden. You know, E3 is just another direct for them. They don't give a shit, and I respect that begrudgingly, but I still want these, like, holy shit moments. There's a part of me that craves them. And again, that's just me being a stupid person, I guess.
They did announce a Metroid and a fucking Advance Wars and show some Breath of the Wild, so they had some moments. And Kazuya in Smash Brothers.
that was a pretty funny reveal. But that was a pretty funny reveal.
It's funny. I'm just, you know, I'm glad for, you know, another game series being represented in Smash Brothers, and it was just funny seeing him huck everybody off the goddamn cliff. It's just hilarious.
Is Heihachi already in Smash?
No, he is not.
No?
No.
Okay.
This is the first time for Tekken?
This is the first time for Tekken, yeah.
Okay.
We need some Virtual Fighter in that.
Yeah,
they have the... Well, they did a Mii Brawler costume that is Akira.
Man, they're fun. Yes. I guess.
So they won't put more in there now. Sorry.
I gotta try that updated Virtua Fighter 5 that we just got on PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, I was messing with it a little bit. Yeah. It's solid. It's Virtua Fighter 5.
Yeah, that's a good game.
Mm-hmm. I heard the net code is shit, so no one's gonna play it, and they're not gonna make more Virtua Fighter.
Cool. Great. Good job, Sega.
And also launched like a week before Guilty Gear Strive, which has apparently done quite well so far. So do we want to, like, I think that's everything from kind of the big presentations is mentioning. I kind of want to run down some of like the numerous indie things.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
That's the cool. And there's so many more that I'm going to mention. Like, they had the Wholesome Games presentation. They had Day of the Devs. There was Devolver. There was so much indie game space.
Those three were like my presentations, really.
Sure. Yeah. Fuck yeah. So I think this might have been Trek to Yomi, which is like the side scrolling black and white samurai game. Looks pretty cool. All these I'm going to be like, these look pretty cool or sound interesting.
Right. Going off of everyone loving Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah, yeah.
And good time
still need to try. Death's Door, which is the new game from the company that made, or developer that made Titan Souls, was like a boss rush game. I thought that looked nice. That's coming out like in like a month. I like the idea of Arcade Paradise.
Yeah.
This is a game. Well, so on one hand, it is a compilation of fake retro games, which is always fun, but it's wrapped around someone converting their family's laundromat into an arcade.
Right.
So there's like a sim element to it, which I think is really cool, along with the games. So that has my attention. Fire Girl, which is like a side-scrolling firefighter, like.
I meant to watch the trailer for this.
Action platformer thing. It's a small indie game, so it's not quite like an Octopath Traveler level of that aesthetic, but it kind of has some elements of it that look really nice. Fighting Fires is something I can get behind.
Mighty Switch Force.
Yeah, exactly.
Ignition.
The Gecko Gods, which is action adventure where you're like, it's like a puzzle solving game where you're a gecko and you're like climbing on walls and shit. Four turned me on to that. Oh, okay.
I think I missed some of these. Yeah.
Fire Girl. This looks cool. This looks great.
Yeah.
I want that.
Let's just give you guys a moment to look at trailers. You know?
Yeah, pull pretty
up
much.
Gecko Gods has a really nice, like kind of like watercolor look to it. It's something I can get behind. Seems like it'd be really pleasant to play. I can't keep track of where any of this stuff came from because like I didn't get to watch all of these live. There is Lakeburg Legacies, which is like a Jane Austen like turn of the century like manor management matchmaking fucking game, which I immediately was like, oh, Lauren, you need to watch this trailer because they made a game for you. Snacko, which is a game I've been aware of for a while because Dale North is making the music for it, but it's like a sort of like an indie like Animal Crossing sort of deal, seems like a little town builder management thing that's just really cute.
Somewhere that in Harvest Moon-ish.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. That vein.
Loot River, which is a like roguelike dungeon crawler, but also kind of like a slide puzzle Tetris game, because you're going down a river and there's these islands that are blocks that you float around and move around into different configurations, and you like utilize within combat to move towards and away enemies and like traverse the environment, which just seems like a cool game with a lot going on in it.
Yeah.
And then we mentioned Sable and Sephonie, Sephonie, earlier. So
have you been following Vocabulantis at all? This is the give it a peep, because it's a claymation game.
Oh, it's this game.
Yeah. It's it looks stunning, and I really enjoyed the breakdown of how it's being made.
Holy shit!
Present, like it's stunning. Obviously, it's inspired by like Neverhood, kind of thing.
This looks nuts.
It looks nuts, and the way the camera moves, like whenever a camera does something fancy in stop motion, because you know how much work that was, and it's really fluid, just going between like character to character, watching the puzzles go. Like I think the crowdfunding is still going? It has made its goal. Hopefully, it just makes.
It's on Kickstarter back in. Now I'm looking at the campaign.
Yeah.
Yes, it did make its goal. But yeah, the campaign is over. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm into it.
There's that sneeze.
I want that game, and I want it to come with a massive behind the scenes.
Yes. Thing. Yeah, that is a game that I would buy a big fancy set.
Yep. That's why I buy every a movie on Blu-ray, no matter what, because I just want to watch the behind-the-scenes stuff. Like, it's just wizardry. Absolute fucking wizardry, and...
Absolutely.
It doesn't get old. Not at all. That's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else.
There's Toem, that little black-and-white puzzle game looked really, really good.
Toem? T-O-E-M? Yep.
T-O-E-M.
No, I did not mean time, Google.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of. I know that
there's a demo up for it right now.
Oh, yeah, this looks cool. Real cute.
The Steam Next Fest. It's like I said, there's so many things going on right now. It's
there's a lot of demos to download on Steam.
There were two rhythm games, and one of them I've been following. I mean, both of them I'll probably want to play because they're rhythm games. There's the one that starts with the letter R, and I'm trying to remember what the hell it is. No, it's unbeatable. It's not with an R.
Oh, yeah.
It's the one kind of like Jet Grind kind of vibe, because it's like music is illegal, and you're finding a way to do it. And it's like, it's very, very, very furry curry.
Yes.
Kind of style. That game looks awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of people are excited about that one.
Yes. I'm just scrolling through a
game. Yeah, that music is illegal. The devs.
Behind the Frame look pretty. But
a rhythm adventure where music is illegal and you do crimes.
Yeah. I mean, that'll get me to buy a game. there, frankly.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Wait, is that?
Is it?
Was now we're just looking things up.
Did we cover the whole thing?
I mean, no, we didn't. We covered the parts that we were interested in.
Oh, yeah. And the parts we thought were stupid?
The things we thought were awfully stupid. Why is that?
Fish and then cook the fish. It's a perfect cozy little game.
Wait, I'm sorry. Fish and then cook the fish?
Moonglow Bay. It's a stylized little pixel game, but it's like, so you've got, it's basically like a fishing RPG and also a cooking game within it. So like, I don't know, it seems like an obvious mix that no one has done yet, as many fishing games and cooking games as were in these indies.
Okay, got this sort of like Minecrafty voxel thing going on here.
Now we're just listing games.
Yeah. All right. I think we should probably wrap this up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? Here's something I wanted to mention is that in my. All right. See. Okay. So, Weiss, this game, Moonglow Bay, I'm looking at it right now. The in-game, the actual art itself has this very Minecrafty voxel kind of style, but then they've got the character art. And the character art is actually this really good match. It's hand-drawn, but it accurately reflects the style of the voxel art. And so, Tim, I wanted to ask you if your son has... I'm certain he has read books illustrated by either Peter Brown or Dan Santat. Peter Brown, I mean, they're both pretty prolific. but they have this art style that's kind of blocky.
Okay, yes, Mr. Tiger Goes Wild. Yep.
Yeah.
And Creepy Carrots, for that matter.
And
yes.
Creepy Carrots, yes. They both have this particular art style that's... They accentuate these sort of geometric, shapes. It's kind of blocky. Like, it's close to pixel art. It's this sort of pixel art adjacent kind of style where it's all very sort of straight lines and these firm geometric objects like oblong, you know, sort of ovals and things. And I feel like that is kind of like an art style. It reminds me of Fez, basically. If Fez had been a little more hand-drawn. In fact, Dan Santat's big hit, quote-unquote, the Beagle, the imaginary something-something of Beagle. Dan...
It's okay. Someone will look it up while you talk.
Yeah. Dan Santat's Beagle. It looks a lot like Fez, frankly. Oh, yeah. And I feel like part of me had to wonder, like, is this sort of the bridge between pixel art being this aesthetic that is demanded by technology versus an artistic aesthetic that exists for aesthetic reasons and not because of technological reasons? I would like to see more games embrace this style. I guess that's what I'm saying. Because yeah, I feel like it's a way to express what pixel art does in an art style that is not strictly, like, expressly nostalgic.
Yeah. And I get that. Any form of, like, hybrid, you know, where you're seeing the artist's interpretation of how... It almost feels like how they felt.
Yes.
With pick rather than
because we, you know, these two children's book artists in particular, they're about they're the right age to have been influenced by growing up playing video games. Sure. You know, it tracks that this would be, you know, sort of their own imaginations, interpretations of how pixel art looked in their minds. This is apropos of nothing and has nothing to do with E3. It's just something that I wanted to mention to Tim because I was pretty sure he would be familiar with some of these books.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, like that's always the hard thing is being abstract / surreal in general because you have a built-in language when you use a pixel.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I can do this or I can do that.
Yeah.
Right. So... Yeah, hybrids are smart, and I could see a game like Moonglow Bay being aimed, you know, much younger, but also like it's specifically supposed to feel cozy, kind of like a short hike sort of thing. So aiming it younger makes a lot of sense.
Well, just from the description, it looks like it's set in a Canadian coastal town in the 80s.
Yes.
So this is specifically nostalgic for someone.
Oh, no. This is about crawling into a blanket and
just
living there. Really. I'm all about it.
But then
those
are
the games I love,
though. Well, yeah. I mean, because I watch Doc Martin because I want to feel like I'm living in the quaint little seaside town of Port Wen. You know, not because of the snappy writing.
I was watching Muppet Show last night.
Because you want to run a variety show.
Kinda. Yes. Tim has clapped. He's ginuing.
Oh, did you clap? All right. Are we syncing video to audio? Are we?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
For the
All right.
Twitch stream.
For the Twitch stream.
I mean, we don't have to go into all of it, but real excited for Playdate. I know it's not really E3, but whatever.
Oh, hey, it was a presentation in the last week, so it counts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm hyped for that. Yep.
Yes, we're hyped.
That is the hardware announcement of the year. That's all you need.
Yeah.
You need a Switch Pro. Yeah, I'm hoping they're going to be able to provide them as much as they think they will be able to, and that they'll be able to meet demand. So I'm just glad they're like, yeah, just everyone will get to pre-order one. It just might be a while, you know, before you actually get it. I'm like, okay, I can deal with that more than the analog pocket, which was like, if you blinked, you missed it.
Right. Well, yeah, that's why I was like, I would still love to play one, but I was just like, nope, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, no, I'm out in the cold with Elijah Wood.
Tim, by that same token, at the start of the podcast, you mentioned that there were maybe other announcements within the past few weeks that you were excited about, that you would like to consider sort of under the umbrella of the E3 window. Was there anything else that you were particularly hype about that you wanted?
No, that was the Summer Games stuff.
Oh, there's okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what I was talking about, because they are not the same thing. They are enemies. Yeah. So.
Luis, anything else happened in or around the past week or so that you feel like is exciting?
I mean, like, I'm up to the Matador in Nocturne, so I've got to level a little bit. But, you know, first time, took me out of the game for like a year before I went back.
Got to have that wind defense. That's the big thing. No Zucchi.
How are you playing it?
I bought the physical on Switch. So okay. I'm a... Yeah, no, it looks great. Like, the remaster looks really pretty.
Yeah, that's like a few games deep in my queue. So who knows when I'll get to it. I want to play that Mass Effect Legendary Edition, because it has all the DLC in it, and I've never played Mass Effect 3 with all the DLC in it. So, but I just have not had fucking time that much recently. Well, it's like I've been playing, I played through Resident Evil Village twice, because that game was a lot of fun. It was a blast. And then I was been playing Strive mostly, because that game is a lot of fun, and then kind of picking it near Replicant. I just have had just enough time to come home and be like, I'm just going to play some fighting game for a little bit and pass out.
Yeah, exactly. I'm either pick at that or I play... I've made no progress in Crypt of the Necrodancer, the Zelda version. Mm. Whatever.
I didn't make much progress. I liked it so much, and I never went back to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not even that long. I don't know. Yeah.
I like when I turn it on. I just never really get anywhere.
I had a great time this past month or so. I hacked my 3DS.
Oh, fun.
And it can do all kinds of cool stuff now. It's
can it put Picross 3D2 on sale? What that?
Gosh, yeah, boy. Did it go on sale?
It never goes on sale.
It never goes. Of course not. Why would it? I could pirate it now if I wanted to, but I'm not going to do that. There's so many cool like Chinese handhelds right now that are sort of expressly geared at either their screens are the perfect resolution to like be a portable Dreamcast emulator, or they're the perfect resolution to be a portable GBA emulator. But it's like one or the other, because they're very different screen ratios. The 3DS's resolution is like good enough to, you can't like double the resolution on anything, but like Game Boy Advance games scale up pretty well. Sega Genesis games surprisingly scale up almost perfectly, because the Genesis had kind of a unique resolution. Super Nintendo games, it's the same resolution options as in the Virtual Console. So either you stretch them out to 4x3 a little bit, or you see them super crisp at a like a perfectly almost a perfectly square window, because Super Nintendo had a weird resolution too. But it's been cool. It's been really fun to sort of have a more powerful handheld emulation system than I've had in the past. So that's been fun for me. I like that a lot, and it's helped to tamp down that itch to spend $130 on like an Ann Bernick RG.
Nah.
What's a fuck?
Mm-hmm. Nah, I'm just holding out for Playdate at this point. that's where the money...
Not holding out, but, you know, I'm anxiously anticipating it.
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I have 6% on the laptop. So,
okay. All right. Time, so like that's a podcast, gentlemen.
Oh, okay.
We have used a battery's worth of time.
Damn.
Better I switch to the phone, but yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to Triple Radio here on the Fat Gatsby Network. I have been Dave. You've been listening to Tim and Weiss. And please like and subscribe all the stuff that we post, which is nothing. We've got no online presence at all. We do this like once every 4 months or so. God help us. Thank you for listening if you're still listening.
This is almost exactly 4 months since our last episode, had Weiss on it. So
yeah, I was gonna say, was that the last one? Wow.
We did do a Zelda Games of Future Past back in like March.
All right,
April.
Well, I'm throwing in an extra vote for Wind Waker here.
Listeners, yeah. Let us know if you would rather us do it like once a month, just me and Tim, or we just do it every 4 months and we can include Weiss.
Hey, maybe we can include Weiss on once a month too if we tried.
If we tried.
Problem is, I've been so fucking busy the last month. It's just like, holy shit.
June is
a lot of overtime. I have emerged from the bad part. So I'm good now.
Yeah. Oh, that's...
yeah. My last overtime.
When are you done with kids?
I think he's permanent, and I don't think he's going anywhere.
When is your school district done with kids?
Tuesday. Richard is done next Thursday.
All right.
But this is all very irrelevant to me for lots of fucking reasons. Like, how big summer school is this year? Because you need to catch kids up from what happened the past 15 months.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, Christ. That's going to be a thing.
Yeah, it's a big thing. We have 72 teachers hired on for summer school this year, which is a lot. 200 elementary kids, which is a
Christ.
Lot. That's just the elementary kids.
Fuck me.
Going to be catching up for years.
All right.
It's anyways.
Yeah.
Before we go completely off the rails. Yeah. Good night.
All right. Good night. Goodbye, everybody. And done.